Dear ones, for this morning's meditation, a portion of scripture, a short portion of scripture, desire to read with God's help is. There's a question that I was asked a little ago of what does it mean to go to the cross, and this is also something that came up in a Friday morning discussion here. So I'd like to read with God's help from the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 9. And read verses 23 through 26. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. Ljubav ne želim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz Evanđelja po Luci, 9. glava, 23. do 26. broj. And in this heading of the Bible in front of me, it says the way of the cross. It tells, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer.
Gracious and merciful Father in heaven, how thankful we are that we can gather together round about thy precious and living word, to worship thee in the beauty of holiness, separated from the world and its cares and concerns, if we would but commit ourselves unto thee and see that we are coming round about thy throne, to worship at thy feet, to honor and glorify thee. Father, we pray that thou would be with us through thy Holy Spirit. Be with our brothers as they would meditate upon the word and speak unto us the word of truth and life. It is good for us to be here, and there is a reason why thou hast brought each and every one today. And we thank thee that thou art our creator, that thou dost have a claim upon our lives and the worship that is due unto thee. And we pray that we would willingly give our all unto thee. We thank thee for thy salvation, which has been made possible through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank thee that he has shed his precious blood for us, that our sins might be forgiven, and that thou hast made this way of salvation and hast told us of it in thy word, and that thou wilt tell us of thy truth and thy gospel yet again today, to call sinners unto thee, to be made new, to be renewed in spirit, to be renewed in love and faith is our prayer towards thee, the only true God. Thou art able to take all of the burdens and the cares that we may have carried throughout the week, all the anxieties and the self-consciousness that perhaps hinder our walk, and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Lord, thou art able to free us, as the sun has risen in this morning, to free the earth of the darkness that it was in through the night. The light of thy word is able to free us from the power of sin and the penalty of sin. And we pray for each and every soul that that would be true, and that would find a place within our hearts, that we would have that confidence and testimony of faith in thee. We do pray for our children and their teachers as they gather together in the Sunday schools. Grant them the lesson and the truth of thy word, that it may mold and direct their hearts in this young age, that they would not depart from it, but that each and every one who is still outside the fold would seek thee early and find that thou art a God who is faithful and able to keep their souls. We give thee thanks for this word. We pray that thou would bless it. Be with each and every one who is gathered and provide the instruction and correction that we have need of, that we might walk before thee in truth and in spirit and worship thee. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dear ones, when we come before God, we always are presented, as the scripture tells us, to choose between life or death. It's something that we are presented with every time we are in his presence with his word open unto us. And so we're given this choice. A presentation is made, and we will ultimately walk out of here making a decision which way we will go. And I'd like to just present it in the way of, if we are asked, heaven or hell, no one here will choose hell. So every one of us will choose heaven. But it doesn't stop there then. Because we are really being asked, and this is what Christ is speaking in these short verses here that we have before us. Heaven or earth? Everyone wants heaven over hell. Judas, let's keep in mind, he chose heaven when he chose Christ. When he was called as a disciple to follow Christ, he chose that. But here he is being presented with heaven or earth. And Judas chose the earth. But it came at a cost. At a cost of his eternal soul. This was shocking to him. What Jesus had called them to, he was willing to follow. What he presented to them here is a cross. Is a cross, death. Something that you must take up in order to follow me, alarmed Judas. This isn't what he signed up for. And he chose the earth at the cost of his eternal soul. And so you, my dear young man, young lady, middle-aged, old-aged, doesn't matter what age we find ourselves in, when God is asking us, heaven or earth, he is asking us, are you going to choose the passing things of this life over an eternity with me? And so he commands us, he instructs us, he gives us, he tells them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What did that mean to the Apostle Paul? It meant a life of persecution, beatings, mockery, ultimately death itself for the cause, the name of his Redeemer. And he never swayed, never faltered, never doubted. That doesn't, more than likely, it doesn't mean that for us. It doesn't mean the persecution that Paul went through, the beatings, multiple beatings, imprisonments, and so on, cold. But it means a denying of self. And so, dear ones, how can we deny ourselves? And what does it mean to deny ourselves? And is it something that I will choose to do? Because to choose to deny myself is really going against totally myself. And so Jesus says, as this was in their day, in the first century church, dear ones, the cross meant far different than what it means to Christianity today. The cross was an instrument of not a maybe death, not of a little bit of suffering. It was the most gruesome way of death and suffering that a man could invent to bestow upon another man. It was brutal. The cross was something that ended in a sure death. No one comes off the cross alive. Some suffer for a few hours, some even for a day or two. And I've heard that some could have lasted even 5 to 7 days. Suffering. Ultimately, death comes. That's what the cross meant when Jesus spoke these words. But he tells us here, he says, deny yourself. So as we choose heaven, we have to let go of something, and that is earth. That is me. I have to let go of myself. To deny means to, we know what it means to deny something. No. It's just a flat out denial. We say no to something. It's not a wishy-washy, teetering, tottering, tempted, drawn, step forwards, back. It's no. It's a denial. And that denial is to anything that stands in the way of following Jesus Christ. We have to consider God is in heaven above, outside of the universe that is his creation. The heavens can't contain him. He is so mighty and powerful outside of his very creation. And he looks down upon man and he sees a broken world. He sees sin. He sees thievery. He sees lies. He sees murders. He sees sexual deviations. He sees everything that we see here and far more. And he looks down and he gives us a choice. Because in this life, in this earth, there's death. And so Jesus took on flesh and he willingly went to the cross. Dear ones, what we want, what I want is for Jesus to just make me be holy, make me just do his will, so that there's nothing left for me to deny, to go to a cross, deny, say no to the things that give me pleasure, the things that put a smile on my face. But it lasts so short that it must be renewed. It doesn't end. And so Jesus came and he went to the cross on his own. No one could take his life from him. He says, no, I lay it down myself. I will sacrifice my life for my love that I have for you, to give you life, to give you heaven. And so we have to do the very same thing. We also have to willingly go to the cross, not forcefully. We can't expect just Because Paul himself says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Because there is a warfare that is taking place within our bosoms. And it will not end until we close our eyes to this life. Because the old man who is crucified lingers around. Just as the man who is on the cross and he's lingering, his life is still there. That's how sin is in our life. He wants to hang around. He wants to continually present himself. And Jesus is saying, deny it. Deny it. So you have a choice. I have a choice. But you know what? We get to the point in our life, as we live out our lives, as we face our temptations, our demons, something that is just too hard to get over, and we will go to the extent to blame it on God that he created me with such a strong, inordinate desire for this sin that I can't overcome it. I can't. I'm going to fall again. Doesn't matter what it is. I can start naming sins, gross sins, and all the sins that lead to death. Or we could name the sins of the heart. The lack of the love that Christ had when he went to the cross. If I'm going to take up the cross and call myself a Christian and be baptized in the death of Christ, I willingly, because of love, because God loved us, he went to the cross. So because I love my God, I love my Lord, because what he did for me, I love him, I will willingly go take up my cross and follow him. Take up the cross, the instrument of death, the place where I have to die. Is it pleasant? Is it pleasant? No. A denial of what our passions and wants are is never pleasant. Because, as I believe all of us have found out in life, the anticipation of something is so great that when the fulfillment of that anticipation comes about, we look around like, well, this is it? It's just this? It's short-lived and it's past, and the excitement, the anticipation, the everything that we built up in our minds that is so great, it's gone. It's gone. And so there's emptiness then. And Christ gives us fulfillment. Because the outpouring of his Spirit is continual. He's always pointing. The Spirit is always pointing us to Christ. Because in Christ, we have joy, we have happiness, we have love, we have everything. But the deceiver, the liar, the hater. Imagine listening to someone who hates you, and you know he hates you, and he's giving you some advice to do something that you know is going to lead you to death, and you're going to obey him? That's what we do. We often do that. And Jesus says there's a way out. And that way is a cross. It's a way of self-denial. Say no. Say no to that temptation. And the temptation loses its power. When? When we call on Jesus. James says it. Let Jesus do your battle. He will take it away. Dear ones, we've all, I'm sure, because we wouldn't be here as children of God if we never felt any victory. If we never felt a victory over a sin that is actually dead. It becomes dead, literally. When we deny a sin a pleasure, a temptation, and we deny it. We head it off instantly. No, we don't search the internet. We don't look for pictures of sexual things that are going to drive us into all kinds of thoughts. We might say, it's not even nice to mention things like that, but the scripture is filled with it, telling us to stay away from those things, to get away from that stuff. Why are we going to look for things? Why am I going to post things of the very things that mankind struggles and humanity has fallen and lies in chaos due to the things that I will actually take part in as I call myself a born-again believer? That's anger, lies, alcohol, drugs, sex, lusts. Anyone that is involved in those things, we look, dear ones, their life is in ruin. Lives are in ruin. And Jesus is saying, I have a way. But it's a cross. It's the way that I went for you. I just opened this morning as I sat here in the hymnal open to hymn 168. Talks about the blossoming youth, our hope, our fond expectation. Speaks of the hand that is leading you, pointing you to Christ and salvation. Talks about give is an offering. What is the offering? It's a sacrifice. What are you going to sacrifice? Those things that have to go on the cross. Sacrifice that. Do away with it so that you could blossom in Christ. Jesus says, take up his cross daily and follow me. It's not at baptism, one time done. It's not a one and done. No, it's an everyday thing. And the temptations will lose their power. And suddenly the things that we thought we could never get over, we do. And you say, how? Jesus said it right here. Say no. Say no. Well, it's not that easy. No, it's not. Because the passion, the mind, the anticipation, it's all deceit. It's all lies. And the emptiness is felt afterwards. The utter despair. Dear ones, we hear them all the time. The utter despair that comes about when a man falls into sin. I did it again. Why? Because I don't want the cross. That's it. I can't say I'm too weak. I can't say that. The weakness comes by not taking up the cross, by not crucifying myself, my desires, to the cross and to die. But we want heaven. The choice is easy, heaven or hell. But heaven or earth is a struggle. But the struggle over those temptations, brothers and sisters, I know you felt it. My dear friend, it does end. It does end. It doesn't lead you continually where you continually have to follow and you can't give it up. Christ would not be who he is. He would not be God if he couldn't give us victory. He gives the victory if we say no, if we want to. Because if love takes up the cross and denies myself, because of love for him, dear ones, think of what we do for those we love, our children, our spouses, our brothers and sisters in the flesh, and you know, the immediate, the ones we love, we'll give anything for them. And we do. We go to great lengths to sacrifice from ourselves. And it's not hard. It's not hard. It's easy. Why? Because love. So, dear ones, when we find ourselves refusing the cross, it's not because of, oh, I'm just so weak, I can't do it. I wish God would just not give me what? My will? The pinnacle of his creation, because he gave us his will. He created us in his image. We don't want that now. We want to be mechanical, like the animal kingdom. Where they have to do what they're programmed to do. That's what we want now. Why? Because we don't want to go to the cross to say no to self. But we still say, I have heaven. Judas did. Until he was presented with, there's a cross. I'm going to die. You have to take it up too. And so he says here, whosoever will save his life. Judas chose to save his life. And what does that mean? That means he didn't take up the cross. He didn't die to those things which held him captive. He didn't die to the things that controlled him, that ruled his life. He didn't want to give it up. And so he saved his own life. We know he didn't save it in the sense of living forever. No. Matter of fact, he died before any of the other disciples did. But all of them gave their lives, except for John, we know, because it was told of him that he wouldn't. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Judas, you didn't want to. You didn't want to give it up now. But you gave it up in eternity. Where there's never a hope. Where there's never any light. And dear ones, you know what? Where there's no love. We can't even imagine what that would be like. To live in a world where love does not exist. Because you know what? The vilest of man can still love. The vilest men still can love. They can love their own child. Where does that come from? But in eternity, it comes from God, obviously. Because God is love. He is the source of love, of all love, in any form. He is the source. So imagine being in eternity with no love. No light, only suffering. And why? Because he chose. Judas chose to save his life. He chose to not go to the cross. So that which is holding me in prison today, I am choosing over an eternity with Jesus. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So brothers and sisters and dear friends, that doesn't mean that now if I'm never going to lose my life physically through persecution and death as the apostles did, and many in the early church and many through the ages, God may not require that of me. I don't know that. But that doesn't mean that this verse is now doesn't mean anything, doesn't hold much, because I was never called for that. No, he's speaking of take up your cross daily and follow me. He's saying here, lose your life. If you don't, you're going to lose it later. But he says if you lose your life now, if you die to those things, for what? For my sake. What's that mean? Because you love me. For what I did for you, you love me for my sake. You're giving up the things that are so broken and so vile from heaven's view of holiness and righteousness and light and life, looking down on a broken world. You've chosen me. And for my sake, you saying no to the evil one, to the destroyer, to the enemy, I'm going to give you life. I'm going to give you life. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself? Take the pleasures. Gain whatever there is in it. Gain the world. Go ahead. He's saying, because Jesus here is talking about costs. He's saying there's a cost. There's a cost of following me, and there's a cost to not following me. There's a cost. You're going to pay a price both ways. Because the cost to follow me, Jesus says, is a cross. And the cost to choose not to follow me, you're going to be cast away. You're going to lose. You lose. And he gives us words here. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words. You know, we live in pretty confusing times here, because earlier in my life, and I'm middle-aged, but earlier in my life, it was more of a cool thing to be a Christian. Now it seems to be kind of transitioning where it's being kind of not so cool anymore. Both are wrong. There's nothing cool about it. It's a way of self-denial. It's a way of saying no to all the things, to being ashamed. You know, most Christians are not ashamed to say, I believe in Jesus, openly. But are we ashamed when he talks about living a life of modesty, a life of meekness? Put away that self-pitying pride that we often surround ourselves with. To be ashamed of his words, where he says, deny yourself. That means, yes, don't have your collection of all these wines and alcohol, and don't have all these things that display these things that are showing what? That are showing what? Are we going to proudly display these things? Are we ashamed to say no? Are we ashamed to say when we're called from work, hey, let's go out for a drink? Are we ashamed to say, no, that's not the way that Christ showed me? Or are we so lost in our work that we're not even known as Christians? We might be known as a Christian, but a Christian that doesn't deny himself, maybe that. Have we come to that? Because really what it's saying is we're ashamed. We're ashamed to speak of the holiness of God and what he is calling us to. He's calling us to that. He said, whoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words. Let's look at the words of Christ. Let's look at what he calls us to. To be ashamed of that means to, I don't want to be seen as not doing the things that I'm being invited to do. And so, because of that, because I'm not wanting to deny myself, I'm going to go and I'm going to say, I have enough strength. I'm not going to go in that deep. I'm going to go a little bit. And see, we didn't deny ourselves, and the temptation is going to grow higher and stronger and more forceful. But when we say no, the temptation loses its power. It doesn't progress. It doesn't keep going. And it becomes easy to say no the next time and the next time. He says, if you're ashamed, he says, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. I don't know you. To have the Creator, the one who created us, and then not only created us, but came and gave willingly himself to die on the cross for us, for him to be ashamed of us. I can't even think of that. But he's going to be ashamed of those who are ashamed of his words. The words that instruct to holiness, purity. Holiness and purity is not a relevant term. It's God. It's God. It's not what we think is holy. It's not what I think is pure. Because those, as the centuries roll, those definitions change all the time in mankind. But it's God and his word. And so he said, I'm going to be ashamed of them when I come, when he says, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. There's going to be a return. And he's going to look at Judas, and he's going to be ashamed of Judas. Ashamed of Judas, a follower of Jesus. We're going to say, yeah, but look at ultimately what he ended up doing. But you know, if Judas would not have done that, which is, you know, because none of us have that opportunity to physically do what Judas did, but we can do what Judas did in our heart. We can be a follower of Jesus, but a secret lover of self and a non-denier of self and a follower of self as I claim to follow him. And he's going to, as he's ashamed of Judas for what he did, he'd be ashamed of me. Paul gives example after example in the scripture of dying to self, what it means. In Romans 6, he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. What? So that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. Where do we do that? Where can that happen? On the cross. Self-denial? No. Of course, we're not physically going to go there, but in our thoughts, we go there. And we say no to self and say yes to him. Paul to the Ephesians says, says of his life, he says, none of these things move me, speaking to the elders of Ephesus. He says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Dear ones, that's our position, to testify of the gospel. Are we ashamed of his word? The gospel that calls, yes, even Christians to him. The gospel that points out that no, you cannot live in sin and still be his child. You have to deny that. You have to walk away from those things. So how is it done? There's no miraculous way. There's no miraculous way in the sense that God isn't giving it to me or to you, but not to me and not to you. Or it's not that. Do you love me? Is all that Jesus says. Because love does everything. Love is so powerful that it does everything. It gives us the strength to do everything. It gives us the strength to lay down our own life. It gives us the strength as the apostles did. They laid down their lives. Why? Because they loved their Lord. Do we love him to lay down our life on the cross the cross of self-denial. Dear ones, the cross is, I know I mentioned this before, and I think it's really important to stress this, that the cross is not a hardship in my life. The hardships in our lives come to all of us in every walk of life. Whether you're rich or poor, bond or free, doesn't matter. Hardships of life follow everyone. And everyone has different hardships, whether it be relationships with their spouses, with their children, broken relationships. Do we just say in a self-pitying pride, well, that's my cross? No. The cross is a place where we go to die. Because men and women through the ages have had hardships, whether they believed on God or not. Hardships come from a broken world that we live in. But the cross is the instrument of death where we are to go. As Christ says, take it up daily. Every day, choose, as I believe he tells the Colossians, to put on Christ. Put on Christ. I cannot put on Christ and not deny myself. I can't do that. So if I don't put on Christ, I've not gone to the cross. And by not going to the cross, dear ones, I'm not following him. And so it is my prayer that each of us would, with God's help, simply pray that he would give me the understanding of who he is and what he did for me, so that my love for him would increase. Because when I have faith in him, when I have faith that what he did for me is real, I'm going to love him. And through that love for him, dear ones, there's nothing that can separate me from God. Paul says, nothing. No addictions. Addictions of pornography, addictions of drugs, addictions of whatever it might be. There's no such thing. In Christ, to still be tied to those things can't happen. It can't. And I know there's some that's going to argue. They're going to argue that. Christ gives victory over everything. Everything. Or else he wouldn't be God. And so when we fall in sin, dear ones, let's not blame him. But let's come before him with repentant hearts and prayer that he would give me the strength to deny myself, to take up his cross, to love him, to experience the full joy, peace, happiness, love that comes in serving him. Dear ones, I may never give my life for you, but I can love you. I can love you, but only if I love him. So that the world may know that you are mine. Love one another. Gone is bickering. Gone is undermining someone, mocking someone. Gone. It's gone. If it's not gone, we're not denying ourselves. So may God, in his wisdom, reveal to each of us, dear ones, the things that are holding me captive, that will away from me to take up his cross daily and follow him. Amen.